You know, we've been talking about this probably for the better part of the 10 years I've been doing this program. By the way, the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of this show coming up in just a few weeks. I'll tell you more about it when we get closer. But we've talked about China. They come in, they steal whatever they want. They flood our universities with young, bright people who get educated here, learn everything they can, and go home. Or some become, well, some become spies for the Chinese. Others, you know, just want to infiltrate and do what they can to benefit their home country. It's frankly all true. Doug Kelly is chief executive officer of the American Edge Project. His concern is, will Congress handcuff American tech and then hand China a permanent advantage? Well, with so many people getting paid off by China that work in government and big tech in America and all over the place, frankly, you have to wonder. There's a lot of money here. Are we getting bought off? Doug, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. Hey, happy early anniversary.
Hey, thank you for that. I greatly appreciate it. So let's talk about this. I mean, listen, I've got my issues with big tech in America, and they're legitimate. A lot of people do. The way they snuff out competition, the way they censor and silence people that don't, you know, carry the propaganda from one side as opposed to the other. I've got a lot of questions about that. But this is no question at all to me. Congress should not be handcuffing American corporations and allowing China to have a permanent advantage. China already will beg, borrow, and steal anything they can to get an upper hand, won't they?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. You know, I think a lot of people have kind of a vision of China that's about 20 years old, right? So over, you know, since President Xi took over, China's embarked on a series of kind of five-year plans to really modernize their country. And it includes not only investing in their own capabilities of semiconductors, of 5G, and other critical technologies, but it's also a very deliberate plan to steal about $500 billion a year of U.S. technology. And so the people who are on the front lines of that competition with China are our biggest tech companies, warts and all, right? I mean, there's certainly challenges there. But the concern that we have is that there's legislation in Washington right now that would handcuff those biggest tech companies in this battle against China for tech dominance. And China's been really clear, like they feel like they lack innovation, and their focus is to be the number one superpower by 2035, and they're going to do everything they can to accelerate their technology innovation. So the worst thing we could do at this point is to damage our biggest tech companies and hand this edge to China.
So what you're saying is, in essence here, it's better for America to have these monopolies that are too powerful, that, you know, put their thumb on the scale of American elections, which clearly happened in 2020 with Mark Zuckerberg spending $300 million to impact an election. That's better, you say, than allowing China to scoop up these small startup corporations that have great technology. You know, we could just outlaw the sale of such companies to China. We could do that.
Well, I wouldn't put it as binary as that, Steve. I think there's reasonable reforms that can be done that address some of the pain points of where kind of tech companies meet society and politics, right? So, for example, Congress could create and pass a national set of privacy laws so people know what's happening with their data. So there's clarity.
But wait a
there.
Second. But hold on. Hold on, Doug. You're sidestepping mm-hmm. the big issue for tens of millions of Americans, and that is Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these companies putting their thumb on the scale in political situations, putting their thumb on the scale to impact knowingly the outcome of an election for president of the United States. We don't like that. We don't like somebody having that much power. No newspaper has that much power. No television network has that kind of power. But the tech companies, Mark Zuckerberg does. So how do we make sure that these companies aren't overly broad and overly powerful and monopolies? Because really, Facebook is a monopoly. I mean, people say, well, it's not. But really, it's got billions of users worldwide. It is. There's nothing like it. There's not.
Well, they.
How do we hold them accountable?
Successful. Sure. So, and Facebook has been incredibly successful in its mission to connect the world, right? That's its mission. But what I would say to you in terms of. Oh, yeah.
I think its mission is to harvest information to sell. I think its business model is to harvest data that's for sale. That's how they make money, isn't it?
Advertise. it's an advertising-based platform. Absolutely. They give free services in exchange for things. Google does the same thing. Those two have built the most powerful advertising platforms in the history of mankind. And it really, those platforms really benefit mom-and-pop businesses who don't have big advertising budgets, who say, listen, during the pandemic, I want to try and find new customers. And so, you know, for a $50 to a couple hundred bucks, they can find specific customers to help bring revenue into their stores and keep them afloat. More than 70% of businesses in Michigan did that during the pandemic to use these tools. Now, again, I'm not saying there's we have to let them run unfettered, right? There's certain reasonable reforms that the tech companies themselves have been asking for. So on things like content moderation, because they're not comfortable making those calls, on things like privacy, on things like election interference, that they're saying, Congress, we want your help. But Congress is looking at it and saying, you know what? We're just going to break you up. We're going to restrict the lines of business you can go to. And, you know, as my dad used to say, dude, you don't need to take a hammer to every problem. Sometimes there's a different tool that's there. And so what we're saying is that there's different tools that you can do to reduce the friction between some of the challenges of the tech companies and society. But the idea of tearing apart our most important companies who are the most innovative, who are introducing new things, like, that's crazy. I'll give you one example for
you. Well, you know, and I don't think most people are going to agree with you, Doug. I'm going to have you back to talk more about this. I think a lot of people are going to disagree with what you just said, because we believe that I don't believe that Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook's motives are pure by any stretch of the imagination. I don't believe the same about Twitter or Instagram or any of these folks. I don't think their motivation are pure. So I'm going to have you back because I'm not sure I accept the premise. But I've only got 20 seconds. I'm up against a hard break, Doug. I'm against a hard break. I can't do a thing about it. We'll have to have you back.
I would love to come back and talk about the importance of the internet to the conservative movement and how conservatives used it to the advantage over progressives. I'll talk about that next time.
Thank you, Doug Kelly. We'll be back. It's the Steve Griffin Show.